Now we're going. Okay, Matthew 21. And we're going to look at a teaching that we looked at in teen camp, and it's going to be on prayer. Time to pray. Why is it time to pray? Well, we're going to see, but it's always a time to pray. And you know, lots of times Christians are reactive. They react to situation, circumstance, negatives. But you know what? We need to be proactive. We need to be praying for things. We need to go at things aggressively with God's word and with prayer. So, I didn't turn there. But this is what I like to say. Just about every great happening or event in the Bible has a foundation of prayer. Before Pentecost, they were daily in the temple praying. When they received Holy Spirit, they were praying. Abraham was a man of prayer. He had these great conversations with God. Moses was a great man of prayer. You know, he went up on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments, came down, they had the golden calf, went right back up on the mountain another 40 days and prayed and made intercession for Israel. So he was a great man of prayer. And the prophets of the Old Testament were men of prayer. And Jesus Christ, of course, prayed a great deal. So prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer is a way of life. And prayer is always appropriate. It's just always appropriate. Prayer brings things to pass in our lives. Prayer thwarts and overthrows and stops the attacks of the adversary, our adversary, the devil. So, Matthew 21, verse 22 is the first place we're going to look. And it says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, doing what?
Believing,
you shall receive." So we know, of course, that to receive anything from God, we have to know what's available. So in respect of whatsoever things are available from God when we pray for them, if we believe, we shall receive. It's a pretty simple, straightforward statement. There's no wiggling around it. There's no circumventing it. There's no
guesswork,
making excuses or rationalization. If you pray for whatever God says is available and you believe, you will receive it. Pretty simple. If you don't receive it, I guess you weren't believing. Sometimes we need to keep praying for something that doesn't happen immediately, but God's timing may be, you know, something else. Okay, let's go to James. Epistle of James, way in the back, right before Peter, last chapter of James, chapter 5. And in verse 16, the second half of the verse, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elias means Elijah. Elijah the prophet in the Old Testament. He was subject to like passions as we are. He was subject to weaknesses, desires. He was a man, right? Like passions as we are. He was subject to the same things that we are. So nobody is unique in this world in the respect of being born with sin nature, having a need for God in their life and a Messiah. And we all have sense knowledge, and we all have weaknesses, and we all have passions and desires in our lives. So Elijah was just like we are in that respect. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here we have a guy that prayed earnestly, fervently. It says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It means brings results, doesn't it? It doesn't bring just some results, it brings lots of results. You just got to hang in there and keep praying for him. And it says here, a righteous man. And you know what? When you're born again, you're what?
Righteous.
You're righteous. Right. And so there you are. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. So now we're going to get to the meat of this teaching, and we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You're all familiar with this. I know you are. But we're going to look at it again. It says, finally, my brethren. Brethren would be those that are born again, right? Those he's writing to. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you know, that's a great, great lesson to learn in everybody's life. You know, sometimes we just think we're going to be strong in our abilities, in our intellect, in our personality, in our whatever. But it says here that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you know what? He's stronger than we are. He's smarter than we are. He has more ability. He has a better personality. He's just in every way better than we are. So we're better off being strong in him. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the wiles of the devil are the methods, the strategies, the tactics, the things that the devil does to try to trick us and distract us from the Word of God and from the promises of God. You see? It's just he's trying to pull it away. And you know what? The devil is smart. The devil is wise. It says in chapter 3 of Genesis that the serpent was more subtle. The word subtle means prudent or wise. You know, and so he can dance a tune, he can play a song, he can be very enticing, he can seem very wise, he can seem very beneficial, he can seem very loving and caring. But what's he trying to do? He's trying to steal the word. He's trying to steal and kill and destroy. When he appeared before Eve, he appeared not really as a serpent, but as an angel of light. As someone that was wonderful. That's what he did. Okay, so we want to be able to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. So we can defeat his tactics, his strategies, his methods, his purposes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Many times it seems like we do, doesn't it? You know, the sense knowledge is I'm wrestling with, you know, the financial problems. I'm wrestling with physical problems. I'm wrestling with emotional problems. I'm wrestling with social problems or whatever. But you know what? We're wrestling against spiritual problems. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God means. We used to simplify it and say man's basic spiritual problem is the integrity of the Word of God. And that's what it is. That's what it always comes down to. Okay. Wherefore, because of all this, because we wrestle on against flesh and blood, because we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness on high, because we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. So it repeats it. It says it a second time, just in case you missed it the first time. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all. Stand. Stand. It says it twice in a row, doesn't it? Stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. What are your loins? Loins is the midsection of your body. But in this case, it's the loins of your mind. Girt about with truth. Where do we get truth? Word of God. God's truth. And having the breastplate on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, when you're born again, you're righteous. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, first of all, you have to know you're righteous, right? And you have to believe you're righteous. And then to put on righteousness is to live God's word. And your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet are shod. We have shoes. the gospel of peace, which is God's word, right? Hold your place there. Go to verse chapter 1. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You know, it says in the very beginning, if you read in Ezekiel and in Isaiah and other places, that Lucifer was second in charge to God. He sat on the right hand of God. He got tossed out because he rebelled, and Jesus Christ took his place at the right hand. Okay, we read on. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Does that leave anything out? No. Jesus Christ is above everything. God put him in charge of everything. He has dominion over everything. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are part of the body of Christ, right? So if his enemies are put under his feet or become his footstool, are they underneath us also?
Yes.
Do you remember right back in chapter 3 of Genesis, the very first thing when Adam and Eve fell, God said, first of all, to the devil, you will eat the dust of the ground. That's not a good thought, is it? And then he said that you will bruise the heel of the Messiah. God promised the Messiah right away. And he said he will crush, it says bruise, but it means crush his head. And that is an Orientalism. It means he is totally defeated and totally humiliated. And God said that right from the very beginning. That was true from the very first, the fall of Adam and Eve. The devil knew from that point on that he was totally defeated and totally humiliated. And here he promises that he's under the feet of Jesus Christ, which means he's under our feet also, because we are members of the body. Back to chapter 6. That is pretty cool. So we are to put on or to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember we talked about that lady in the tape or the CD? Well, you know, she put on the Word of God. She had the Word of God to deal with the wiles of the devil. You know, her first emotional sense knowledge reaction in her mind was, I'm going to die. But then the Word of God kicked in because she had it in her heart. She built that Word in her heart and she spoke forth God's Word and she believed God's Word. It's a great thing. Above all, taking the shield of faith, or believing, the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So each one of these things dealing with the armor really have to do with the Word of God. They all have to do with the Word of God, putting it on, believing it, living it. Then it goes on to say in verse 18, praying. With all these things, we are to be praying. Always. Does that mean 24 hours a day, 60 minutes every hour? No, but, you know, always, all the time, as much as you can, you're to push yourself to pray so that it becomes a habit pattern. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And supplication means specific requests. In the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we have all prayer and supplication with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayer is to be an all-encompassing thing in our life. It's to be in every aspect of our life. It's a big deal in our life. It is to be a lifestyle. It is to be a way of life. We are to pray. We are to pray at every opportunity, every occasion. Prayer is always appropriate. Pretty simple. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We will go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in an tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." When we speak in tongues, we don't understand what we're saying, do we? We're praying in the tongues of men or of angels. But our spirit is edified. And it is a free will decision. We have to decide to do it. God does not possess us. He does not make us. He makes it available, and we avail ourselves of it or not. It says here, "For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. To will means what? You make a decision. You decide to do it. It's your will. It's not God's will. It is God's will that you do it, but it's not His will that makes you do it, right? He doesn't take over your will. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So we can pray both in the Spirit and with our understanding. We pray with our understanding for lots of reasons. One, we pray together as a group with our understanding so other people know what we're praying for, and then they can silently pray in the Spirit. We also pray to acknowledge God and to talk to God and to bear our heart to God. And we pray in the Spirit for other reasons, which we're going to look at. But we pray in the Spirit. And you know, when we pray in the Spirit, our mind does not get in the way. Because sometimes it does, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we're praying and we're praying in our understanding, and we start thinking about something, and or we think we know what we should pray for, and the Spirit knows better. So sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, our mind does not get in the way. It's not that we shouldn't pray with our understanding. We should, but we should also pray in the Spirit. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you know, prayer is like anything that we do in our lives. It's something that you build, and it becomes a habit in your life so that you do it. You know, how many of you get up in the morning and brush your teeth? Yeah, everybody. Does anybody not? Would you admit it if you didn't? Well, first of all, it tastes good, right? It makes your mouth taste because you wake up in the morning and it's kind of like you ate a rat or something. Or you licked the dusty floor. Yeah. You never had that, huh? Okay. Well, anyway.
I wonder what licking a dusty floor tastes like.
So. Tastes like a cigarette. Anyway, or a cigar. You know, it's a, so you do it. It's, you know, it's good for you, and you build a habit, don't you? Well, that's what we need to do with prayer. You know, we know it's good for us, so we should build that pattern and that habit in our lives, and we should do it as much as possible. Okay, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the
sons of God.
Sons of God. Right on. For we have not received lumbano, received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received the spirit of slavery, of bondage, again to fear. You know, and it does talk about in the Word of God where fear puts us in bondage, doesn't it? When we're afraid, we are bound up. We're not free in that area of life. We have not received the spirit of bondage, of slavery, again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the word Abba is the Aramaic word. It's a very close and tender and intimate term of endearment for father. It's like when you call your father daddy or you have a pet name for him. That's what that would be. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And children, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be it, that we suffer together with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So we are sons of God, and when we pray in the Spirit, we know that we are sons of God. We have not received the spirit of slavery. We have received the spirit of sonship, which is a spirit of rights and privilege, if you want to think about it that way. The spirit that we have is just the opposite of the spirit of bondage or slavery. We have received the spirit of sonship, which gives us rights, privileges, and abilities. Great thing. Verse 26. Jump down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What is an infirmity? Weakness. Weakness. It helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know all the time what we should pray for. You know, we have a picture up there of a young man named Jeremy Lowe. He was at teen camp this week. He got very sick. And we didn't really know exactly. We knew it was probably some kind of cancer, but we didn't know what it was. So we just prayed for him. We just, you know, and I, even if I knew what kind of cancer, I wouldn't know what to pray for, except other than he gets healed, right? I don't know what has to happen in his body for him to get healed. I don't know what has to happen in his mind or his heart. I just want to see him healed. So I just speak in tongues for him, you see, because I have a weakness there. I have ignorance concerning that thing. And he's just doing tremendous, as these kids could tell you, because he was there and he was healthy looking and blessed, and he's going to go back to school next year, and it's going to be a great thing. Okay, so likewise the Spirit also help us our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what? When you speak in tongues, it's always according to the will of God. Isn't that cool? You know, sometimes we do stuff and it's not always according to the will of God, is it? Even if we pray with our understanding, it may not necessarily be according to the will of God, because we may be praying for the wrong thing. But when we speak in tongues, we're always praying according to the will of God. That's pretty incredible. That's like, holy cow, mackerel, something, something. Holy, holy, holy. Let's go back to Ephesians. So it's always according to the will of God. What a great thing. You can always be in the center of God's will if you're speaking in tongues. It's a good place to be. Chapter 6, verse 18 again. It says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We just saw that. It's a good thing to do. It's always according to the will of God. It helps us with our infirmities. It lets us know that we're sons of God. It's a spirit of rights and privileges and abilities, not bondage. And then it says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. To watch means to be alert, to be observant, to be aware for all the saints by speaking in tongues. That's what we are to do. We're to be looking out for one another. When we speak in tongues for one another, we are watching out for one another. We're covering each other's back. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? We are to be watching. And as we speak in tongues, God can work in our hearts. He can build up our spirit. He can show us things. He can teach us things. He can tell us things. Let's go to Luke. Luke. Luke 22. So we are to watch for each other. We're to be watchful in prayer. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Who's Simon?
Peter.
Peter. You gotta love Peter, because he screws up and then he believes. And he comes back. And he always came back. He didn't let it crush him. He didn't, you know, get destroyed by guilt or condemnation. But he always came back. He was just so meek and so human and so wonderful, and he did great things for God. Look what Jesus Christ said. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. That's not really very positive, is it? Wow. Well, you know, the adversary wants to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. What's he want to do to you? Sift you as wheat. He'd be more than happy to. Okay, look what Jesus Christ said. Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith or believing fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus Christ prayed for him so that he would be strong in his believing. And he said, when you get converted, when you get born again, you help your brothers the same way I'm helping you. Did Peter do it?
Yep.
Yes, he did. Did he get sifted as wheat?
Nope.
He got punched around a little bit here and there, didn't he? But he got up, kept moving ahead. It's a great thing. Jesus Christ covered his back, didn't he? Jesus Christ prayed for him. So when you think your prayers aren't doing any good for somebody, think again. Let's go to Mark chapter 13. You know, as we get older, as you teens get older, you get stronger because you're just hitting the prime of life. But the rest of us, as we get older, it may get a little tougher physically. But you know the one thing we can do? We can pray. We can pray, we can pray, we can pray, and we can pray for the teens and the young people. Cover their backs. Pray for them to be strong in their believing, to help others and to speak the word to others and keep the word alive. Chapter 15 of Mark, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, everybody there? Mark chapter 15, verse, 13, sorry, 13. I had 13 first, sorry. It says, this is 13, verse 33. Okay. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming, suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. That's Jesus Christ's commandment. That's what he said to his followers. We're Christians. We're supposed to be followers. We don't know when he's coming back, do we? Okay. So we are to watch. And the way we watch best is by prayer. We pray. Pretty great. Chapter 14, verse 38. Again. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. How about that? You ever have to deal with temptation? Of course you do. If you don't, you're either dead or you're a liar. We all have temptations. Jesus Christ said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So again, watch and pray. They go together. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the great things this year is I got to meet with a bunch of kids that are coming to our area this year. It's going to be, we got like 13 or 14 college students just up in Allentown alone. And then, you know, five or six more in Philadelphia. And, you know, we're going to have to pray for them. We really need to pray for them. And I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to give everybody a couple of college students to pray for, whoever wants to do it. I'm not just going to shove them down your throat. But if anybody wants to pray for them, I'll give you a name to pray for them. It's going to be a great thing. And you know what? Our teen fellowship is going to be overflowing because we got all these kids coming. And it's a great thing. But they're going to need our prayer. Chapter 5, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Now, is it just talking about the physical day? No, but we are children of God, and God is light. He's the Father of lights. We are His children, therefore we are of the light of the day, not of the darkness, not of night. We're not in spiritual darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We're to be alert. We're to be aware spiritually. We're to be sober of a, we're to have our wits about us. We're to be, you know, in our right minds. Let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith or believing and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's similar to Ephesians chapter 6. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And pray without ceasing means to pray constantly, to be ever praying, to pray as much as you can, to push yourself to pray. In everything. And how much?
In everything.
Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you break your leg. Thanks, God, for letting me break my leg. No. No, but you know, I can thank God for healing me, can't I?
Yes.
Yep, I sure can. So I can be thankful in every situation. Let's go back to Ephesians. So we are to watch, we are to be vigilant, and that requires prayer. Whenever you see the word watch, just remember, we're to watch, and we are to be prayerful in our watch. Chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, and this is written to believers. And you know what it means? It means, you know, they're not walking. They got born again, but they're asleep at the switch. They're like, you know, we're dead to sin. But people that are not born again are dead, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Well, why would you want to be like a dead person? They really don't have any fun. So God says here, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. What are you hanging out with dead people for? What are you doing what they do? And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To walk circumspectly means sharply, precisely, accurately, according to the word of God, in the light, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil because you only get one shot at every day. When that day is gone, you can't live it again. For good or for bad, it's over. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would that include prayer? Absolutely. It would be a major part of it. A major part. To be circumspect requires prayer. It does. It requires prayer. And let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. This is just a great verse about a great man. It says in verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, he was from Colossae, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, a doulos of Christ, one that was, had given his life, dedicated his life to Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What a great testimony of a man's life. Laboring fervently for you in prayers. You know, I hope someday we all get to heaven, and one of the things that God says about our fellowship is that we all labored fervently for one another in prayers. It's a great testimony. Mm-hmm. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That should be our desire and our will for one another. That we stand perfect or mature and complete in all the will of God. Great. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. Have you ever been anxious? Yeah, everybody gets anxious on occasion. I used to get anxious before I took a test in school. Probably because I didn't study so hard. When I studied, I was never anxious. But here it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're not to be anxious. We are to be prayerful and thankful to God. We're to supplicate. We are to make specific requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. One more time. Talks about putting on the whole armor of God. We've seen that it's an important thing to pray. It says praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We saw that praying in the Spirit takes care of our infirmities. It makes up for what we don't know. It's perfect prayer to God, and it's always according to the will of God. So we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to watch for one another. We are to be prayerful, and we are to persevere, meaning you just keep praying. You don't quit. You don't get tired. You don't give up. You just keep praying. You just keep praying. You don't quit on your prayer for things, for people. We are to pray with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, that's what we do. We're watchful. We're aware. We're praying always for one another and for the things of God. And that's just what we need to do. That's an important thing. Prayer is such a big deal. And when's a good time to pray?
Always.
Always. It's always appropriate. It's always appropriate. It's always good. Always works. And it's always according to the will of God. What a great thing. So God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. And we just thank you that you can just magnify the importance and the greatness of prayer in our lives, and that we can just rededicate ourselves to building prayer in our life and just seeing how great it is, and just carrying forth your word and living for you in a great and prayerful way, that you can say of us, as of, like you said, of Epaphras, that he labored fervently for the body of Christ in his prayers, and that the same can be said of us, that we labor fervently in our prayers, that we are always watchful for all saints. And we just thank you for these things in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.